And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
It's every man for him or herself these days. Seems everyone's pulling for his or her own future. And it's leading to some pretty amazing and alarming visions of our past and our future. Lots to talk about, from the Chesapeake to chestnuts, cell phones to gorillas. It's all coming up when your Voice of the Earth returns here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Aloha, Hawaii. Welcome to a whole lot of new listeners from the middle of the Pacific Ocean. You know, we live in amazing times. At any time, I can look at a map and see where everyone who's listened in the past couple of weeks is listening from. And I have some great new friends listening in Hawaii because in the last 2 weeks, Hawaii has become my top listening site. So, to say thank you, I'm going to reward all you Paradisians with a special free gift. So here's the deal. To listeners from Hawaii who send me an email with their name and mailing address, I'm going to send one of my pen and ink prints. But you have to get it to me before the end of this weekend. Deadline is January 29th. So send me your name and mailing address to Wildside News at Cox.net. That's WILDSIDENEWS at COX.NET. It's on today's webpage. It's exciting to see that the dream of the Voice of the Earth reaching literally around the world is coming true. I can see from my listener map that I have listeners in most American cities like New York City, Tampa, Colorado Springs, Minneapolis, Chicago. And then I want to send a special aloha to my friends listening in Sydney, Australia, Milano, Italy, Hamburg, Germany, Amsterdam, and The Hague. I'd love to hear from each and every one of you, so I'm encouraging each of you to send me a greeting. Tell me a little bit about yourself, maybe a favorite show, something you'd like to hear about. Send them to wildsidenews at cox.net. It's on today's show page. There is so much happening around the world, and we are creating a global Earth network that can stay informed about the critical issues, who's doing what to help, and of course, just the wonder of our natural world. It's very exciting. So, I want your help. I want you to help the Voice of the Earth spread around the world by inviting five of your friends to listen as well. Let's expand this listenership all the way around the world and reach a million listeners by the end of this year. I need your help. Thanks. Today, we begin with some observations on the newly released film about Pocahontas called The New World. In segment 2, you know those miraculous cell phones we're all becoming dependent on? Well, buried deep inside each phone is a small amount of a metallic mineral called coltan. Seems no one has found a substitute for it yet, and unfortunately, its primary source is found in only one place in the world, and that turns out to be threatening, are you ready for this, to the already struggling populations of lowland gorillas in the Congo. We talk with Karen Kilmer of the San Diego Zoo about the dilemma and what zoos and you can do to help. And then in segment 3, it's a long-term story of hope, a hope that someday the great American chestnut forest that once dominated lands east of the Mississippi may once again be restored. We talk with Marshall Case, president of the American Chestnut Foundation. So, following the news, all you listeners around the world, we take this journey together. So, let's get started with the news. There's a price you pay for success. One of last year's top box office hits was The March of the Penguins, chronicling the unimaginably complex life that emperor penguins endure. Perhaps inspired by the movie or for reasons no one will ever really know, The world shared the grief of two penguin parents whose baby, Tolga, was stolen from the Amazon World Zoo Park in the Isle of Wight. Despite a huge reward for its return, the little penguin has not been heard from. But life must go on, and indeed it is, for Keala and Oscar, who have laid a second egg, due to hatch in 40 days. Zoo officials noticed a return to a more amorous relationship following the loss, and now, voila, life returns to normal. We've all heard of the legendary endangered species that get tied up in massive court battles over habitat destruction versus resource exploitation or development. Who can forget the snail darter or the northern spotted owl? Well, here comes the new kid in the meadow. It's the Preble's meadow jumping mouse. The critter is stirring up quite a controversy suddenly, adding to the debate about the Bush administration's loose interpretation of science in the name of development. Seems a field biologist, Rob Roy Ramey, of the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, declared that the Preble's jumping mouse no longer needed protection, as it was not a distinct species. Ramey was rewarded for his findings by becoming an advisor to the Interior Department in its attempts to reclassify several species whose endangered status is blocking developers. Hold on, however, says Tim King, a USGS conservation geneticist, who says the evidence is quite clear that the Preble's mouse is its own unique species. The Interior Department, under pressure, has agreed to review the findings. So, just hold on a moment up there in Colorado and Wyoming. We mustn't jump to conclusions. Caribou have suddenly become a favorite news item, featured in most reports about ANWR and now the Strategic Petroleum Reserve up in Canada. Wildside News recently did an in-depth feature with the author of Being Caribou, the story of following a herd of 120,000 caribou from summer to wintering grounds in Canada and Alaska. Well, here in the lower 48, the story is quite different. The last remaining caribou herd, numbering perhaps as few as 34, are being driven northward into Canada and may disappear completely from the U.S. mainlands. As if the entire northern tier of the U.S. were not enough room for snowmobilers, it seems that the area along the border between the U.S. and Canada in Idaho, known as the Selkirk Mountains, the last stronghold of caribou, is in reality a critically significant area for snowmobilers to ride, so much so that battle lines are being drawn between lots and lots of people who like animals like caribou, otherwise known as conservationists, and, of course, snowmobilers. Mark Sprengel of the Selkirk Conservation Alliance is quoted as saying that there is no prospect of negotiations. In fact, members have been branded domestic terrorists by some snowmobilers. Leave it to a federal judge in Spokane, Washington, to ban snowmobile trail grooming for the rest of the season in the areas critical to the Selkirk herd to survive. God bless federal judges. We'll have to see how this sorts out in the months ahead. And on the economic front lines, with the recent movement by the Bush administration and a few other nations to renominate nuclear power as the hope for the future, Japanese firms are boosting investments in uranium sources in Central Asia as a revenue stream, since a surge in global demand for nuclear fuel is likely to keep prices at record high levels. A recent announcement about a newly proposed nuclear power plant in the U.S., the first since 1977, is part of this resurgence, which actually will take quite a while to build, as building literally a new nuclear power plant is expected to take 15 years before it can get online. So until then, invest in uranium and get your protective lead underground safety chambers moving, because uranium is back. And that's the news. A few reminders. I'm serious, we need to get 1 million listeners by the end of this year. Do your part. Tell your friends. Send out just 5 emails today with links to the Wild Side News. We'll be happy you did. So now, let's turn to our first feature. Every once in a while, I treat myself to an afternoon at the movies, which is what I did yesterday when, right smack in the middle of the afternoon, I headed to my local Metroplex, plunked down my $6.25 matinee-reduced ticket price to see a new film, The New World. It's a beautiful, idyllic film. It conjures up what we American nature people carry deep in our souls. It harkens back to the original wilderness and the people who lived in a sacred balance. For those who have not heard, it is the telling of the story of Pocahontas, the daughter of a Powhatan chief living along the area now called Chesapeake Bay. We look back and see it as history. The New World makes an attempt to bring it to life in ways that haven't been tried before. The meetings of explorers and natives have happened throughout our history so often that such moments are now part of a list of dying and extinct occurrences on planet Earth. Virtually all the corners have been explored. All the indigenous people are now part of the global community, whether they like it or not. And as we hear daily, the results are uncertain. Amazingly, in the grand American legacy, the story of Pocahontas is part of our mythscape. But it is even more than that, because Pocahontas was not just a great story. She actually lived, and this is her story. It's the story of a beautiful young Indian girl, or maiden, or woman. We must be ever conscious of our need to be politically correct. Or perhaps we can say, a beautiful teenage princess, daughter of Chief Powhatan of the Powhatan Nation. We can't know how it all really happened, but I can wonder how it may have been. And writer-director Terrence Malick gives us his visions of our history. It's because we now know what America has been, how it is now, and for those of us who stay connected to the earth, what it may become, that the moment creates a kaleidoscopic hologram of emotions, which is my term for images and emotions. Pocahontas is played by an amazing 14-year-old actress who looks every bit of Pocahontas, and so too the naturals, as the Native Americans are referred to. Merrick's debut of the film was 15 minutes longer than the version you're likely to see, and many are thankful that he cut the film down to 135 minutes, as it has moments, long moments, when the sound of crickets or bird wings in the deep, deep eastern forests move in front of the action and the actors. At some time I will track down the original cut, because those 15 minutes on the cutting room floor are filled with immersions into the ancient forests and fields, and I want more of it because of who I am. The film evokes at times that sense of the ancient woodlands. One can sometimes feel the aging of the trees in the minimalist moments when those deep forest sounds resonate somewhere deep in our souls. It is, too, the story of the willful establishment of the first English outpost on American soil, and the sense of man and men set against the rigors of a wilderness outpost that in the New World becomes sensory. It is a love story of sorts, barely Hollywood, thank God, and therefore interesting and bold. It is a film that opens thoughts and feelings, much like one feels opening the creaking drawers of an attic bureau of your long-dead grandfather. Some will not like it, so be it. But for me, I crave the chance to crawl back into the soul of our American land, to touch an America that once was, but has long since disappeared. I came home with my pockets filled with memories of things I hoped to know. The New World. Go ahead. See it. Coming up, what do cell phones and gorillas have to do with one another? We find out when your voice of the earth returns here on the Wild Side News.